I've told this story in chapel and various chapels, and so some of the kids who are here may have heard me say something along this line before, but I remember being in trouble many times as a boy growing up, and I got my share of spankings and deserved every single one of them and deserved more than I actually got, and thankful for the mercy of my dad. And I remember one time in particular that I got in trouble. I don't remember what for exactly. Could be any combination of things. And I got sent to my room. And when I got sent to my room, I knew that my dad was going to be coming. And I agonized because I knew when my dad would walk in that the belt of instruction would be applied to the seat of learning. And so I would listen and I would agonize, and I knew I was done. There was no getting out of this one. It was coming. And I don't know what happened that night, but my dad never came. I sat there and I agonized and I feared, and I heard every creak in the house thinking it was my dad coming down the hallway. I was bracing myself. I was preparing for the worst, and he never came, and he never came, and he never came. And I never did ask my mom. She probably would have no clue what I'm talking about, but maybe they got into a conversation. Maybe they just sat in there eating their popcorn and laughing because I was in there. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the agony of me waiting for him to come was what they knew would be the worst for me that night. I don't know. But for whatever reason, my dad extended mercy to me that night. And I am thankful that I got the spankings that I got, but I'm also thankful for the spankings I did not get. And that was one in particular that I was thankful that my dad had some mercy. We have a merciful God. In Psalm 18, verse 25, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. Here's David, really, at the end of his life. This psalm is repeated basically word for word in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And some have criticized this particular psalm because David wrote really a summary of his life, and he expressed his heart for God down to his closing days, years, months. We're not sure exactly how close he was to the end of his life when he penned this psalm. But in 2 Samuel 22, we know the historical context was that he was near that time when he would go to be with the Lord. And David wrote in a way of great praise to the Lord, of thanking God for great deliverance, but he also spoke of his integrity. And so this psalm has taken some criticism, because how could David write a psalm like this and speak to his integrity when he had failure in his life? And I'm not really going to get into all that. I think it just goes to show the heart of David, and I think it goes to show the forgiveness of God. And it ultimately speaks to the fact that David was a man after God's own heart. And it goes to show that God is a forgiving and a merciful God. And David, of all people, could speak to this. David had experienced so much in his life, circumstances that are just hard for us to even imagine. Grief that is hard for us to imagine. Disappointment that is hard for us to imagine. In many ways, David relates to all of us. And if anyone could speak to the forgiveness of God and the mercy of God, it would be David. So we really need to begin at the very foundational level and see that mercy is an attribute of God. What is mercy? Well, let's look at it in the perspective of God Himself. We looked at the power of God this morning. Pastor Chris preached a great message on the power of God. So tonight we're going to look at an attribute of God, revealing His mercy. Mercy is an attribute of God. It is a communicable attribute, as some theologians would describe it, meaning it is shared with mankind. A person, a human being, can have mercy and be merciful. Whereas we cannot be omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, we can be merciful. We can have mercy in our lives. So it's a communicable attribute. But ultimately, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. That's probably the most common basic definition for mercy. God not giving us what we deserve. That night that I was in my room agonizing, I had been in trouble, I deserved a spanking. I did not get one. Now, for whatever reason, mercy was extended to me that night. Hopefully the lesson was still learned, though the punishment was different that night. I had mercy extended to me. Well, what about us as believers? We deserve hell. We have been given mercy. God has not given us what we deserve. His forgiveness has been extended through the blood of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the word is hesed or chesed, kesed. I'm not sure exactly what the proper pronunciation is in the Hebrew language, but it simply means kindness or loving kindness. Our English word for mercy or our English words for kindness and loving kindness really do not do justice to this word, chesed. It is a rich word. It is full of meaning. It is God's loyal love. It is seen in His loyal love for His chosen people, but it is also seen in His loyal love for His children, those who know Him as Savior. We see this word in the New Testament as well, eleos, meaning compassion. It can refer to human or divine compassion. It, again, is translated mercy and can sometimes have that tender mercy quality. Maybe like a mother with her child. That kind of mercy is sometimes seen in the context when that word is used. Ephesians 2 and verse 4 speaks of God being rich in mercy. That's that word, eleos. This again is God's loyal love. His loyalty to us in spite of our sinfulness. In spite of our failures, in spite of our rejection of Him, He has chosen to love us. And see, that's the aspect of mercy that we sometimes don't quite grasp. But it is a willful act of God. It is a choice to love in spite of our sinfulness. God giving to us God not giving to us what we deserve in a choice of love, in a choice of compassion, in this loving kindness and loyal love aspect. See, God's mercy, though, is always holy. It never condones sin, though there is in mercy a withdrawing or a changing of the punishment. Sin is never condoned. God's mercy is holy. The sin is not allowed. It's not that God accepts or overlooks the sin. The punishment is different. Maybe you could see it in the sense of the punishment is not as severe. In the sense of salvation, the punishment is removed completely. So mercy's greatest extension is to sinful mankind upon repentance of one's sin. God grants forgiveness and the punishment is removed. God doesn't give us what we deserve. So therefore, based upon that premise, God can extend mercy and the punishment for sin can be different or not as severe. God's mercy is holy. It never condones sin, but it can, because of God's mercy in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, God can extend mercy to the sinner. God's mercy is sufficient forever, for every sinner who repents. Have we thought about that? God's mercy is sufficient for every sinner who repents, and it's sufficient forever. His mercy is extended into eternity. The moment we trust Christ as our Savior and our sins are forgiven, that mercy is extended. And it is extended, the atonement is made for eternity. It's not just for a little while. We here at the school, we'll have students who, they will get some mercy. And they think, well, I have a period of time that I can get away with this a little bit longer. So then I can do it again after they have forgotten about it. And that's not what we're talking about here. This is a repentance, a genuine call and desire for God's mercy that results in God's forgiveness that is then extended into eternity. It's not a temporary thing, nor does it allow the sinner to escape in the sense that there is never the justice of God that is met. Because where was the justice of God met? At the cross. That's where our punishment was given. Do we grasp that when we sense the mercy of God as an attribute of God, that He would reveal His mercy, punish His Son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf, so that the punishment is actually moved from us to His Son, Jesus Christ? That is the foundational aspect of mercy. That is the kind of God that we serve. Is that not humbling? Does that not cause us to once again say glory to God for our salvation, for the mercy that He extends to us because of the punishment that Jesus Christ took? Lamentations 3 and verse 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." God doesn't ever have a bad day. We as teachers, administrators, parents, grandparents, bosses, employees, employers, we have bad days. We have days where things just aren't going well. And we can tend to take that out on people, can't we? If we're not careful, we'll take that. God doesn't have a bad day. He doesn't look down at mankind and say, "Okay, I'm going to get him today." You know, we sometimes get that kind of mindset. We have to understand God is a merciful God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The only reason why we exist is because of His mercy, and His compassions do not fail. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. That'll change our outlook on the day, won't it? We read in Numbers 14, verses 18 and 19, that the Lord's mercy is great in its character. We read in Psalm 86 and verse 15 that the Lord's mercy is plenteous in blessing. We read in Psalm 100 and verse number 5 that the Lord's mercy is everlasting in extent. In Psalm 109 and verse 21, we see that the Lord's mercy is good in its help to us. We read in Micah 7 and verse 18 that the Lord's mercy delights in its action toward us. We read in Luke 1 and verse 78 in the Song of Zechariah that the Lord's mercy is tender in its bestowment to us. And then, as I mentioned earlier in the message, Ephesians 2 and verse number 4, the Lord's mercy is rich. It is rich in its wealth. In 1 Peter 1 and verse number 3, we see that the Lord's mercy is abundant in its supply. Mercy is an attribute of God. It is a characteristic of God Himself. And He extends it to us because of His Son, Jesus Christ, who took the punishment for our sins, so therefore God can extend mercy to us. It is an attribute of God in which God does not give to us what we deserve. But God's mercy is not just an attribute of God, an attribute of Himself, but God's mercy would be unknown had God not revealed Himself to man. This mercy would be unknown. Have we thought about this? we wouldn't know the mercy of God. We wouldn't know that characteristic of God had God not revealed himself. Through creation, when he made the universe, that was an act of mercy that we would enjoy life. I realize life can be hard, and it's hard because of sin. But God put Adam and Eve in paradise, and paradise will one day be restored and regained. Right now, it's a far cry from paradise. But just the fact that we have life, this life is mercy from God. It's hard for us to see it that way, but when we realize what we deserve is hell, damnation, then we have a new perspective on this life, don't we? That we really have a lot to be thankful for. We really can be thankful for what God has given us. And our circumstances can be looked at in a whole new light. And our situation can be looked at in a whole new light. God's mercy is made known to us in his revelation of himself to man through creation. And of course, special revelation, the Bible. The Bible. We have the Word of God. We have the mercy of God written down for us. We have the mercy of God revealed to us, codified, canonized, inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. We have God's mercy that we can read, that we can experience, yes, but we know it is true because the Bible says it is true. And then God verifies that with his mercy toward us and his goodness to us as we live our life. So we sometimes lose perspective and we fail to see that this life that we have, the joys that we experience, we often focus on the negative, but the joys that we experience in life, do we take time? Do we pause and reflect and thank the Lord for his mercies? Do you ever drive back out of your driveway and closing the garage door? Do you ever think, Lord, thank you for that house. Thank you for the van or the vehicle that I'm driving. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me safe. Thank you, Lord, that I have enough money to be able to purchase a home like this and drive a vehicle like this. Do we ever go out of our kids' bedrooms and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me these children. They drive me crazy sometimes, but I'm thankful for every one of them. Sometimes as we're walking away upset because they won't go to sleep, we have to be reminded that we need to be thankful for them. And we could be down at Riley Hospital looking across the hospital bed, thinking only a few days or a few weeks remains. The mercy of God, it is revealed to us. Do we see it? Do we grasp it? Do we get that perspective on life? And ultimately, the mercy of God is revealed through his Son, Jesus Christ. There are other false gods. There are false gods out there that claim in their religious teachings that they have mercy. But Allah's only act of mercy is that he gave the Quran to the Muslims, to Muhammad. That's his mercy. There's no personal relationship with God, but we have a merciful God who we have a personal relationship with. And it's because of his mercy. God revealed his Son, Jesus Christ. It is humbling to think that we would have never known God's mercy had he not created us and sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us. And it is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that God can even extend mercy. And while God's holiness and God's justice demand a penalty for sin, God prescribed the penalty and he put his Son in that redemption plan. We wouldn't give our children up for the worst person in Indianapolis. But God gave up his holy Son for sinners at enmity with him. He reconciled us unto himself, and he did the reconciling. That's amazing. That's mercy. God's holiness and justice demand a penalty for sin. But because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, God can be merciful to us as sinners. So the next time things don't go as well as we'd like, maybe we should remind ourselves of the mercy of God. I had a professor in college when asked the question, why do bad things happen to good people? He would answer, are there any good people? Are there any good people? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What I have is because of what God has done for me. It changes our perspective on life, on our salvation. Mercy is an attribute of God. God's mercy would be unknown had God not revealed himself to man. But thirdly tonight, God's mercy is appreciated the most by those who realize their need for it. God's mercy is appreciated the most by those who see or realize their need for it. Back to Psalm 18 and verse 25. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. Now, let's ask these questions. Is God ever unmerciful? No. Is God ever not upright? No. Is God ever impure? No. Is God ever froward? No. Who are the unmerciful? Who are the ones who are not upright? Who are the impure and who are the froward? It's man. So if there's ever a time where we think God is one of the opposites, it's because we have the problem. Because God is always merciful, God is always pure, God is never froward, and God is always upright. So if we ever think of God as different than that, then the problem is on our end. And we often hear people complain about God and how He has been so mean to them and so unfair to them. How could God, you allow this to happen to me? It's actually a very boastful statement. It's actually revealing how little they see of the mercy of God. People who are too proud to see how merciful God has been to them will not appreciate mercy. We have to go to Matthew 5 and verse number 7. We can't leave this passage alone when dealing with mercy. Matthew 5 and verse number 7, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Why do they obtain mercy? Because they have seen the mercy of God extended to them. They saw their need for mercy. They begged for God's mercy. They cried out for God's mercy. They saw their need for God's mercy, and so therefore God has been merciful to them. And they, in turn, are a merciful people because they walk in appreciation and live in appreciation for the mercy that has been extended to them. Those who see their need for mercy from God will receive God's mercy. Ultimately, without recognizing one's sinfulness, one will not be saved. If we don't see our sinfulness, then we don't see our need for being saved. Dealing with Mormonism in the adult Bible study class, home builders class, they deny the inherent sinfulness of mankind. That is one of Satan's tactics and ploys that he has used for generations. Oh, that innocent, that beautiful little baby, that can't be a sinner. And if it is, we just sprinkle it, baptize it, and that takes away its sinfulness. Oh, it's not really inherently sinful. And before long, that child grows up, and I understand. We need to praise. We cannot always be criticizing. Pastor reminds us of that all the time. But if they are never told that they are wrong, if they are never forced to see that they are wrong, they will grow up never seeing their need for the Savior. Because they never see themselves wrong, bad enough to need the mercy of God in order to be saved. And those are the kind of people that have the least amount of mercy that they show in their life. Because they never have the mercy of God shown to them, because they never feel like they need it. Titus 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. So who gets saved? Those who see their need for mercy. Those who see their sin and say, I am wrong, God, and You are right. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Where do we read that? Luke 18. Turn over in your Bibles to Luke 18. Great example of this. It's found in Luke 18. Verse 9. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Dare I say that mercy is foundational to humility? Because when we see ourselves before a holy God in need of mercy, it will humble us and cause us to live humbly. That publican walked away forgiven because he saw his sin and his need for mercy. The Pharisee walked away unsaved, rejected by God, because he didn't see himself in any need of mercy. People who reject God's mercy often see God as unmerciful. People who reject the mercy of God often look around at life and they're always saying, life is not fair. How could God do this to me? And they are often angry. They are often bitter. And we see it all throughout this land in which we live. We see angry people, unforgiving. 75% of the world's lawyers live in America because we don't forgive, we sue. We don't let it go. We go find a lawyer. And we are ridiculous. Now, there are times where we need the law in order to bring protection. But these trivial lawsuits, this litigation mentality that's in America today is a gimme mentality. Get me something for nothing. And that's a whole nother sermon. But it all goes back to this, I need something, I am owed something, instead of seeing that I am the debtor. And I was forgiven a debt that I could not pay. And that should change my outlook on this life and humble me. And change the way I look at others and how I treat others. People who reject God's mercy often see God as unmerciful. And that's what David was saying. He's saying to the froward, they can only see God as froward. To those who are pure, who are living right, they see God as good. They see God as pure because they experience His blessings. Those who live upright lives, they see God as a good God and a gracious God because they're experiencing His blessings, they're experiencing His honor. But to the wicked, they only see God as unfair, as God is unruly, and God is restrictive. And that permeates our society today. As we've lost God, as we've moved Him out, as we've exalted man and exalted government, we no longer see our need for sin. We no longer see our need for the Savior. We don't see ourselves as sinners. And everybody owes us something and there's no humility. It's lost because the mercy of God is no longer seen or realized like it should be. We need to get back to the mercy of God. I appreciate Pastor Chris choosing that song. That's a great song. Rich words that speak to our sinfulness and our wickedness, in our depravity, in our unworthiness. That is not going to help the self-esteem movement, I realize. But the self-esteem movement has done more harm than it has good. Because a lot of people grow up, again, thinking that they're doing all right. And again, we have to praise. And again, we have to be positive. And again, we have to encourage. But if we can't ever admit that we're wrong, if we can't ever look at ourselves and say, yep, that other person's right, and I need to go and get things right. If we can't do that, then we are not living merciful lives. And if a person is living that way all the time, and they're angry, and they're bitter, and they're rebellious, and they're mad at God, and life is unfair, you wonder sometimes deep down if they really have a relationship with God, if they really ever experience the mercy of God in their lives. You know, us as believers who have received God's mercy, we should be the most merciful people, shouldn't we? Let's go back to the minor prophets. Let's go to Jonah. A negative example. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. In case you need directions there, helping find Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. We know the story well. God sent Jonah to Nineveh. He said no. He grabbed a ship heading to Tarshish. He was going to Spain. He was getting as far away from Nineveh as he possibly could. He was gone. We know the story. The ship, the storm came. The ship was about to sink. They threw him overboard, and the great fish swallowed him. He prayed for God's mercy, received forgiveness, and God said, well, Jonah, guess you don't have to go to Nineveh after all. It was just a test. Is that what he did? No, he sent Jonah to Nineveh. And Nineveh repented. They repented. They put on sackcloth and ashes. They showed their need for mercy. They called out for mercy. Jonah preached a message of judgment. And they saw their need for God's mercy. And they repented. And they're putting on sackcloth and ashes. In Jonah 3 and verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Mercy extended. Verse 1. Jonah, chapter 4 and verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Unbelievable. Is that not a contrast? The mercy of God extended to these reprobate, apostate, ungodly people. They're saved. Revival spreads through Nineveh. They get saved. Hundreds of thousands of them probably. One of the greatest revivals ever in history. And the very next verse, Jonah's mad at God because he saved them. Unbelievable. Talk about a lack of appreciation for mercy. He just came out of the belly of a whale too. He's mad because God saved these people. He prays unto the Lord, verse 2, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He said, I knew that you could save them. I knew that you would save them, and I didn't want them to get saved. How sad. Is that our perspective on our salvation? I don't want that wicked sinner to get saved. I don't want that homosexual to get saved. I don't want that immoral person to get saved. I don't want what business? The same mercy of God that saved us is there to save them. How can we despise the mercy of God and be so unmerciful? Jonah is mad. And then God sends the sun to wilt his little plant, his little shade, right? And what does Jonah do? He gets mad again. He gets mad because God made his little shade tree, his vine, wilt underneath the sun. And then he gets mad because his shade is gone. And he cares more about a plant than he does about the people of Nineveh, souls, going into eternity. What a rebuke. And that's where the book ends. In verse 11. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city? God says. That's where it ends. As if to say to us, should not I spare Indianapolis? And should not I spare the United States? And should not I spare, and you fill in the blank, where's our mercy? In closing, what about David? David experienced failure of spiritual leadership in his life, of political leadership in his life, turned on by Saul. He saw failure in his family. His brothers looked down on him. He was the last son when Samuel came to choose the next king. And they're like, yeah, I guess there is a little shepherd boy out there in the fields, but you don't really want to consider him. Looked down upon by his brothers. Father considered him insignificant. He had personal failure in his life. Immorality, conspiracy to murder, pride. He had failure in his marriage. Michael, in particular, who walked away from him, left him. He had failure in his own home with his children, Absalom, who rebelled against him. Yet David wrote honestly at the end of his life that God is a merciful God. Why? How could David say that? He had failure of all kinds. If anybody could say, God, you've not been fair. Saul chased me like a rabbit through the wilderness. He turned on me. God, you didn't give me the kingdom right away. Here I am king and I'm still not king because I got somebody who's fighting for the throne. He had failure, personal failure, his marriage, his own children. David had failure in his life, but he wrote at the end of his life that God is merciful. Because David understood and had received the mercy of God in his life. And he saw that all of that failure, all of that trouble was a result of man's sinful choices or his own personal sinful choices or simply God in his holiness bringing trial into David's life, as we learned about this morning again, reminded again this morning, to conform David to the image of God's Son. God had a purpose in that. So David never blamed God. He's calling out the end of his life and saying, God is merciful. What about us? David, at the end of his life, he finds Mephibosheth and extends mercy to one of Saul's grandkids, Jonathan's son. And at the end of David's life, we see him still extending mercy. We see him taking the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. We see him desiring to build the temple until God said no. And we see David's heart all the way down to the end of his life, a heart of mercy, a heart of compassion and concern. Where are we at? Christians who do not appreciate God's mercy are often bitter, angry, easy to hold grudges, unforgiving, not willing to take care of business, sweeping things under the rug, hoping it goes away, and then coming back and bring it back out again. Never willing to see another person's perspective. Never willing to let it go and forgive and put it underneath the blood. A Christian who is constantly agitated and is constantly struggling with authority and relationships. They don't like God's authority. They don't like God's ordained authority. And they don't like God's ordained plan for their life. And so they're mad at God and they're mad at people. And they have a hard time extending mercy to their own children or to someone in their family or to the people in their workplace. And on it goes because their life either lacks mercy because they've not received the mercy of God, or they are genuinely saved, but they're not appreciating the mercy of God that has been extended to them. So this mercy of God, when it's not appreciated, when it's not made personal, when it's not experienced with gratitude and thanksgiving, it can cause us to look at life in the wrong way. And before long, we start putting the blame at God's feet and we become bitter and angry and unforgiving in our relationships all around us are falling apart. Sometimes within our own home. And God is crying out to us, receive my mercy. Receive my forgiveness. Admit your wrong. Get right with me. You've already experienced the forgiveness that saves you from the penalty of sin. Now, won't you accept the mercy of God that sanctifies your life on a progressive level so that you can have right relationships, so that you don't have to go through life angry? And we'll have accepted the mercy of God and been forgiven of a huge debt that we could not pay. And then we'll have a small debt with someone in a relationship that we're with. And we won't forgive them that small debt, but we had this huge debt that we could not pay. And God forgave us. And we won't forgive, we won't give up this little debt that we have with someone near us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer. Do we just say those words? We're willing to extend mercy even to our enemy. We're willing to love them. We're willing to reach out even to our enemy. We're willing to bless them that curse us and pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us. We're willing to love our enemies because we were once an enemy of God. And He forgave us. He sent His Son and punished His own Son on my behalf. Surely I can love my enemy. When I was an enemy of God, God loved me. And did good to me, though I didn't deserve it. Often the people who are unkind, harsh and cruel, they look at life as unfair. All these wrongs against them, they're the victim. No sight of the mercy of God. And the people who often are unkind, harsh and cruel, they often experience the same thing done back to them, don't they? I've told the students at school, if you bully your way through life, if you go through life and you bully your way through life, manipulating, controlling, mean, angry, putting people down, talking down, sarcastic, smart aleck, just on and on. If that's the way you live, you're constantly just pushing your way through life and bullying your way through life, you will one day meet a bigger bully than you. It will happen. I guarantee it. And if you try to push your way through that bully, God will make sure that you get bullied. And I say that in a reverent way. Because the people who are lacking in mercy often have that same treatment back to themselves. They eventually run into a bigger bully, so to speak. They roll the stone and eventually it rolls back on them. It's the sowing and the reaping principle. Proverbs 14 and verse 21 says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs 14 and verse 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him, honoreth his maker, hath mercy on the poor. Proverbs 16 and verse 6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Proverbs 20 and verse 28, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Proverbs 21 and verse 21, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Mercy is an attribute of God. It's been revealed to us. Are we a merciful people? Do we appreciate? Do we realize the mercy we have been shown? Do we accept the mercy? Are we thankful for it? And then has it changed our life and the way we live down to the very relationships that we have? If we follow after righteousness and mercy, God promises life, righteousness, and honor. Where are we at tonight?